I saw Jesus at the bowling alley slinging nothing but gutter balls. He said, "You gotta love a hobby that allows ugly shoes." He lit a cigarette and bought me a beer, so I invited him to dinner. I knew the Lord couldn't see my house in its current condition, so I gave it an out-of-season cleaning. What to serve for dinner? Fish, the logical choice, but after 2,000 years, he must grow weary of everyone's favorite seafood dishes. I thought of my granny's ham with Coca-Cola glaze, but you can't serve that to a Jewish boy. Likewise, pizza, all my favorite toppings involve pork. In the end, I made us an all-dessert buffet. We played Scrabble and Uno and Yahtzee and listened to Bill Monroe. Jesus has a healthy appetite for sweets, I'm happy to report. He told strange stories, which I've puzzled over for days now. We got an appointment for golf on Wednesday. Ordinarily, I don't play, and certainly not in this humidity. But the Lord said he knows a grand miniature golf with fiberglass mermaids and working windmills, and the best homemade ice cream you ever tasted. Sounds like heaven to me.
In Capernaum, Jesus noticed a publican, a tax collector named Levi, sitting in the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he left everything behind and got up and began to follow him. And Levi gave a big reception for him in his house, and there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people who were reclining at the table with them. The Pharisees and the scribes began grumbling at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick." Luke 5, 27 to 29. When Jesus was passing through Jericho, a tax collector named Zacchaeus wanted to see him. But Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. So he crawled up in a sycamore tree, the Savior, for to see. And when Jesus spotted him, he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today." And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Luke 19, 1 through 6, directly from the Greek. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this and said, "Why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." These are our sacred stories. When I was a boy, preachers used to say, "Don't do anything you wouldn't want to be caught doing if Jesus were to come again." Well, as Jesus kept on not coming, we changed the question around in different ways about just what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? What would he think? Would Jesus ride a motor scooter? You know, things of that sort. But you can ask this seriously, either as a disciple looking for guidance or out of admiration or simple curiosity. I may have misheard, but I believe I heard Jenny Gamble say when she was worship leader not too long ago that we should not put words in Jesus' mouth. And that's admirable advice, and I'm going to ignore it today and ask for your forgiveness. You heard Nancy read the poem about Jesus at the bowling alley. There's several similar things that I have read over the years and have stuck in my mind or put on note cards, but mostly without accompanying footnotes. I would estimate that the readings today, the dramatic reading rather than actively acted out, about one third of it is borrowed. In today's rendering, Jesus has returned and asked for a guided tour of Houston. We are not restricted by time or space. We can go anywhere we wish at any time immediately. So what would he say or do about what he saw? And I've asked Ruddy Cravens, a professional actor, to take the role of Jesus, even with the risk that he might be typecast and with respect
to... I wore white, because he would.
Most of you will recognize the supporting actors who are already mentioned in the program. Well, Jesus, what would you like to see?
Well, why don't we just walk through the park? Let me see if I can strike up a conversation with this man with the newspaper. Hi. Hey. Nice day, isn't it? I say, it's a nice day, isn't it?
Listen, Mac, why don't you go fly a kite?
That's a fine idea. You want to help me?
What are you talking about?
Fly a kite. Look, I think I have most of the stuff we need to make one. Those sticks over there will be fine. I always carry string with me, and I just bought some glue. I was going to work on my scrapbook this afternoon. We can use your newspaper.
Wait a minute. I haven't finished reading that.
Oh, you can read it while I work. It tells about the shooting, the spending bill, the war, famine, Astros, 10-5. Whew. Refugees, hacking, tariffs, the shooting.
You already mentioned the shooting.
That's another one.
Hey, not so fast.
No, I'll glue it to the sticks and then bend this stick like a bow. It'll catch the wind better. Make all the news go and go and go.
Well, is there anything I can do to help you?
Well, sure, if you want to. The string goes right through here. Put it right through the O in shooting. Then tie the cross piece at the back.
Oh, how's that?
That's fine.
Well, by the way, what I said a while ago, well, I mean, it's just a saying.
No, that's all right. No, I'm glad you did. Here's 5,000 feet of string. 1 mile of straight pink string.
Do you mind if I ask you something? What are you doing with 5,000 feet of string?
Remember this. You can never have too much string. Okay, now let's send it up. Feel the wind. Oh, it's strong. Go, kite, go. Here comes God. Here comes our inequality, our violence, our friends, our enemies, our fears, our hopes, our dreams, our world.
I never thought of it that way. Can I hold the string?
Oh, you have to.
We'd better move along.
Hey, I like your kite. What's your sign?
Capricorn.
Ah, I knew it. Mercury's in your third house, right?
I'm not sure.
Oh, don't worry. I have it right here in my chart. Let me look it up. Here's your horoscope for today. Pitch in to do something to everyone's benefit as you set up schedules. Don't say much ahead of time about your specific plans. Slack off until you can figure out which problem is the most urgent. It's time to evaluate your personality objectively. Marriage may interfere with your job.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, what'd you say your name was?
Jesus.
Oh, wow. That is like totally awesome. I don't want to be a pest, but can I ask you a favor?
Yeah, I could try. What is it?
Yeah, so I have 7 devils. Can you cast out 6?
That's a little more of a precision job than I'm willing to take on. I've been criticized for letting my demon work get out of hand on occasion. Boy, there's a Gadarene farm pig farmer who ran me out of town for sending his herd over a cliff and into the sea.
No, I understand. That's all right. But if you change your mind, I'll be in the park. Just ask for Magdalene.
Lord, let's go. There's a great university just across the street, and I want you to see the religion department.
Oh, well, let's stop this man and surprise him. Hello. My name's Jesus, Son of God.
Yeah. I'm so glad to meet you. I feel like I know you.
Yeah. I've got a surprise for you. You can ask me any question you want to, and I'll give you the answer.
Wonderful. Yeah. You know, there's something I've always wanted to know. Now, was the Last Supper part of a Passover meal eaten on the 14th of Nisan, or just a regular meal during another night during Passover?
Okay, I don't think you understood me. You've got just one question.
Yeah, that was it.
Would you by any chance be a professor of religion?
Yes, my specialty is the
Gospels.
I've always held it as a Passover meal.
Well, no one will ever be able to refute you.
Thank you so much.
Don't mention it, please.
I won't. This will be a big help to an article I'm working on. Have you published anything lately?
Oh, yeah, a few little things. But I've always concentrated more on my teaching since I've got what amounts to tenure. But I have been reworking some of my parables, you know, making up some new ones. Oh, for example, just here on ecologically responsible, I've cut the 10 virgins down to 2. Yeah, one with oil, one without. Virgins are hard to find these days. I'm sorry, we have to be going now. Meeting you has been most instructive.
Okay. Come on, Lord, I want to show you something. This is one of the finest churches in this whole part of the country. This entire campus costs more than $100 million. The members call it a going church for a coming Lord, anchored to the rock but geared to the times. Yes, and every week they put up a new slogan on the signboard. See, this week's slogan is, "Doubt is the runt in faith's litter." They had a funny thing happen several years ago. They let another group use their chapel on Sunday afternoons. And the janitor made a mistake one week and put the other group's sign up on the board.
What was their slogan?
"Pilgrims in Progress, a surrogate faith for a transitional generation."
Ouch. $100 million, you say? You could help a lot of poor people with $100 million.
Well, that's true, but the poor you have with you always. You said that yourself.
Did I? Yeah, I remember. But a woman had just given me a lovely gift.
Well, this church has a wonderful minister. He's been here 10 years this last week, and they bought him that Ferrari right there. That cost $110,000. That is quite a car, right? What are you doing?
Slashing the tires. Nobody needs a car that expensive.
I think we better get out of here. I can understand why this offends you at first glance, but I'm sure you'd get used to it. Most of us have. And look at it this way. It's all for your glory. Mm. And besides, we can deduct what we render unto God from what we render unto Caesar. What do you think is about the right kind of car for a Christian to drive?
Something like a Nissan.
Altima, 4 cylinders?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Maroon?
That's fine, okay, drop it.
Okay. I'd almost forgotten about this, but I'm supposed to be at a wedding reception at this hotel. It's actually 2 women who are getting married. Is that okay with you?
Why wouldn't it be?
Well, a lot of religious people think that being gay is a terrible sin. They say the Bible condemns it. I'm embarrassed about this, but I've forgotten what you said about it.
Nothing.
Nothing at all?
No, never mentioned it.
Well, that's a relief. By the way, there's some important people here. How should I introduce you?
Oh, I don't care. Wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace. I'm not picky about titles. Look, I'll tell you what, I'll just mingle with the crowd myself. Okay.
Time passes. What this party must have cost. Did you notice the way the water cooler had wine in it?
You liked that, did you?
Well, it surprised me because when I went up to the bar, they had run out of wine. So I went over to where I'd seen this big jug of Ozarka spring water, and bingo, it was full of wine. It may be a little hokey, but that is fatted calf all the way. It's got to impress you.
Well, I expect it was meant to be impressive, but somehow bingo doesn't seem quite the right word. Did you think it was good wine?
Huh? It wasn't bad. So yeah, it's bad. A little sweet for my taste, but I imagine most people would like it.
Well, your volume wines are fairly sweet. than to, if you're changing wines, it's usually better to go with something a little sweeter than something drier. At least, I mean, that's the way I'd look at it if I were arranging the wine. But there's something I want to ask you about. I heard a fellow talking about somebody getting a $151 million contract just to play baseball.
Yes, Jose Altuve. He's my favorite player.
Oh, is he that little guy who bites his fingernails and spits a lot?
That's right, and hits a ton.
Boy, there must not be any poverty in this country. My goodness, if you'll pardon the expression. What kind of generosity I'll bet you people have. I bet you people have already been able to help out the famines in Yemen and South Sudan and Somalia and northern Nigeria.
I've heard something about those famines. I know they don't have everything we do, but people aren't really starving to death, are they?
If something radical isn't done almost immediately, maybe 36 million people will die each year.
36 million? That's six times the number of Jews the Nazis killed in World War II.
Yeah, I've thought of that. What about the poor people here in this country?
Well, it's not as bad as that. I mean, we do have a problem. About one-seventh of the people in America have what we call food insecurity. And right here in Southeast Texas, 66,000 people experience hunger on a regular basis. This is making me hungry, and I know you like to eat. We have several good restaurants in the area. You will have to sit up straight, but...
Look, okay? I have another idea. Let's go have lunch with those people under the bridge. Go over to Fiesta, buy some cheese and crackers, maybe a couple of cans of sardines. How many people do you reckon are under that bridge?
30, 35.
Okay, one can will be plenty. Get one of those big red onions and some Shiner Bock, if it's still on sale.
Jesus Christ, This is all you need. Can you imagine how it would be if lots of people saw you drinking beer with a bunch of dope heads and panhandlers and crazy people?
Yeah, you're probably right. It messed me up the last time. What does the government think about all those people having to live that way?
Well, the government can't do everything.
What does it do?
Well, I couldn't begin to tell you. I mean, lots of things, important things. We've got several wars going on right now, and even when those wind down, we have to stay ready in case another one pops up.
Now, I've heard about your wars. I have never understood killing. I'm worried about that a little because most people seem to think so highly of it.
You know, most Americans don't like killing.
Well, then why do you do it? Why do you spend more money on killing and on getting ready to kill than on anything else? And what's the deal with all the guns? Did you know that more people have died of gunfire in this country since 1968 than in all the wars in this country's history?
I heard that was fake news.
Well, it isn't.
Well, we need to wind this up, but I want to show you one other thing. Have you got time to stop in at this little craft shop?
I'm with you.
I wanted you to see these statuettes. They're of you.
No, they're not. That's not me. That's Don Quixote.
You're right. But it does look like you. Have you ever noticed how often they make you look like Don Quixote? Well, there's much more to see, but we only have 12 to 15 minutes. So is there anything particularly that you wanted to see that we haven't seen yet?
Well, I see mostly white people. I thought America had a lot of brown people and yellow people and black people.
Well, I thought you liked white people best.
Well, I never said that.
Well, anyway, most people from different ethnic groups like to live off and to themselves. They have their own schools and neighborhoods. They move around a lot, especially the black ones. Sometimes it takes them 2 or 3 years to make up their mind where they want to live. And a lot of them wouldn't work if you handed them a job on a platter. They'd rather draw a welfare check, sit home and watch TV. And a lot of the men are in jail, and I didn't think you'd want to see that. Jesus, what's the matter? Why are you crying? I'm sorry. I forgot that sometimes Jesus wept. It makes me sort of feel bad myself. Jesus, look.
What?
It's your kite. It's still flying. Somebody's tied a long tail on it of all different colors. It's a pretty heavy weight for that kite, but it's still going up. It's still up. Look at it go, climbing up to the heavens.
I am well pleased.
May it be so.